She put her finger at my mouth and commanded silence. She came closer, put her hand first to the heart and then put it gently on my head. I sat in a breathless excitement. I dared not to move. I dared not to speak. She pulled herself slowly back, waved her hand as for inviting me to follow and melted away before my eyes. Now I laid back in the darkness. Was I awake or was it all just a beautiful dream? I pinched my arm to convince me that I had not slept. Thus, it was a reality, a lovely, beautiful reality. It was my own Sonia who came to tell that she was alive, that she thought of me, she still kept me in love. Was it perhaps also her opinion that to prepare me, that I would soon come after? She waved as she wanted to say, "Follow me, I'm waiting for you." Yes, nothing would have been dearer to me than to leave this mortal life that caused me so many sufferings, but still I had not been given holidays. I told Ibaad and Kath of my sight, and thus broke the latter's last opposition to spiritualism. After nearly 3 months of illness and convalescence, was I so recovered that I could move back to my hometown. The doctor prescribed, however, the greatest calm, otherwise the wound could go up again. It was with much regret I left the friends that had become me so precious, because I realized that I now, not so easily was able to get the long way out to their nice home. This disease had for me was of the utmost importance. It had brought my thoughts into one for me, completely new area and had given me a completely new outlook on life, a completely new philosophy, a belief that I could live and die on. I began to understand that there is a deep meaning in life, not just on the whole, but also all the small events forming a human life, and this certainty gave me an inner balance that I'd never really felt before. I went home full of courage, in which the word is of higher sense, and it was of the precious memory of Sonia's visit. My friends were grateful also for the new outlook they entered, and asked me often to come back, so we would continue our joint studies. But fate had decided differently. Shortly after my return home, I was compelled to undertake a small trip. I ran into the mishap to my wagon, as it broke down and I was forced to traverse a few kilometers on foot. It was more than my still fragile organism sustained. I had a relapse of internal bleedings and so the need to reoccupy the bed. Sasha, with which I throughout our stay in Basel had shared residence, sat by my side. Forces sank suddenly, I felt that the end was near and asked him to send word to Ibaad and Kath. They came, so that I once had to pressing their hands and thank them for all the tenderness and friendship they had given me. I died with Sasha's hand in mine. Only a few words to finish. My reunion with Sonia, in which I immediately recognized the form of Vera, was an indescribable joy. But the experiences I had in the near future along with she fall in the private sphere. Only one little episode of recent date I still try to retell. Time has in its restless path, rolled a quarter of a century ahead. On earth stood man ready to carve in a new century figure. From my good angle position, in one of astral world's bright spheres, I had frames with interest in the events in the matter world and especially their development in my last fatherland. Several for the Russia's liberation, warmly interested spirits from different spheres, have here been brought together and exerts a systematic organized activities for the promotion of the freedom movement as they has started adopting ever closer forms. We sat here a short time ago, some intimate friends together, and discussed the question, will Russia be able to find themselves in a likely imminent war with Japan? Comment. Remember this was written or transferred more than 100 years ago. And this war came 1904 to 1905. We read on. Shall Zarus truling thereby even more secure its power, and for a longer time, shoot away the goals we are striving for, or should its empire hereby get the ground shoot slash hit, after which it no more can rise up to the same reputation as before? Most leaning towards the latter view. Only Alexander, who would like to see everything in the dark colors, feared the last end. Sasha, or to name him at his former name Ivan, hoping on the other hand, that all of such a war was necessary, and felt that they should do what could be done to speed up its eruption before Russia could even more consolidate its power in East Asia. As we talked, came Oral, our old friend from the days of old, who had not been on Earth since we last met, with bids from a higher realm that we would all keep ourselves ready to, at a given order, suspend us for service, some in Petersburg, others in Port Arthur, in order to in any way seek to wrest the war forth, that in any case could not be avoided and had to be essential for the fate of Russia. Sasha looked triumphantly at me. "I'll be correct, you shall see," he said. There was a general joy at this offer from our senior leaders. Finally would then something taking place with a view to be of real importance. What's more, it must cost countless sacrifices, better that than this desolate eternal sorrow under a yoke, which indeed, during an endless wait, demanded yet more victims. Dying is not the worst thing that can happen to a man, least of all when it is done on such a sacred thing. So molded our thoughts and feelings during the enthusiastic closure. I mention this only to show how lively interest is up here for everything related to evolution on Earth. We have here our diplomats who look a little further than the earthly and also inspired by a warmer zeal for the truly good and not nor hesitates in the choice of a rigorous means, if it is unavoidable, also if it would mean to be the dreadful scourge called war. Sonia, who always took a lively part in our negotiations, had long been quiet. Now she stood up. "Yes, friends," she said, "perhaps you are right. I do not understand it, but I succumbed to a dismay that I cannot put into words, when I think of the immense suffering, how much lamentation and wailing shall go forth for the two great nations to promote our sacred cause. Imagine how it will appear from here, as an immense amount of fallen, lying on the battlefield, while their spirits in spasmodic efforts working to break free from their mutilated bodies, without any clear consciousness of what is going on with them. Imagine these unfortunate, yet occupied by hatred and murder, senseless wandering, screaming and yelling, impervious to the tender care they so desperately need. Indeed, one cannot be hesitant. It may be entitled to collect such a large sacrifice of people who itself is completely innocent of the crimes that caused this desperate situation. But as war is inevitable, it is also our duty to timely organize large ambulances and hospitals for receiving the fallen. There, I will seek my work area." "We must remember, however," objected Sasha, "if also the victims of war are innocent to Tsarist defenses, however, they are surely personally guilty of other offenses from previous earthly life, whose evil karma in this way becomes the opportunity to serve. No one is suffering innocently. I myself have suffered not a little in my last life on Earth, but I have here come to realize that everything I suffered only has been the inevitable consequence of atrocities I committed in a much earlier existence, but whose detention I received save to my latest incarnation, when my sufferings were included as links in the chain of sacrifices that had to be made for the emancipation of Russia. So, such I would also look at the victims of war." "Yes, you men are always so ready to figure out the cause and effect. Everything should be as lawfully and consistently, not a suffering without a prior offense, not a crime but a following suffering. Do you not, my dear Sasha, think that there can be such afflictions man happily submits to, as they are not necessarily a part of one's karma, but that those necessarily have to hit one? One takes them, just because you cannot do otherwise, when one see how others are suffering." "Yes, I know," Sasha replied with deep seriousness, "and for those true martyrs, I bend my head." He leaned down and kissed Sonia's hand. Here was interrupted our deliberations of a woman who searched me. I went out and met her. Imagine my surprise when I recognized my tender gang, Sister Ursula. "Well, finally I meet you," she said. "I have looked for you everywhere in this neighborhood. I have an important message to you. Eberhard, your friend, as he was once my Ludwig, is now at his last stages. I assume you want to be involved and receive him."
"I want, yes."
"But what do you say, he was your Ludwig?" Are you there for Mother Ranica?
Yes, while I followed him from here, it dawned on me that I had once been his mother, but the memories of that time are still a little hazy for me.
And it was you who watched over me.
Strange fates.
Yes, I'm glad I got to do it. Then you sacrificed your life to save my Ludwig and his Elsa. But now is no time to lose.
I hurried to my friends and told Sister Ursula's bid. Eberhard was for our whole colony a dear friend. Many of us had been in personal contact with him and enjoyed the hospitality of his home, but we all knew him as the warm-hearted freedom fighter, which, though he was not Russian, had made Russia's liberation of his life greatest interest. All were therefore immediately resolved to follow in order to be part of the beloved man's liberation and to bear him up to his new home. This was done. We arrived just in time to witness the solemn act. He lay there so beautiful with a faint smile on his lips. His eyes were sunken, his head bare, but the large, white beard billowed down against the chest. Death work was begun. It was so easy and painless, few deep breaths. A little twitch in his features, and his bright spirit floated out from the body and stood free for us. His high ethical position and to no small degree, the proper performance he acquired through study about the transformation of death, did that he immediately found his bearings on the new plane, life forever. He wiped his forehead and looked surprised about. It was fun to see how happy he was when he recognized one after another of us, who came with flowers to welcome him. Ursula was beside herself with joy. She fell on his neck and whispered, "Ludwig, my own boy." He first saw a little surprised at her, but then it was as if an old memory awakened and he clasped her tenderly in his arms. He kissed the crying cat to dismissal and whispered a few words in her ear, then we put him on one of the roses adorned cushion and carried him on our shoulders out of the room, up through the clear air. It was a festive triumph train when Eberhard was brought home. Part 3. 1500 Years of My Life. A Series of Earth Lives, Introduction. For a long time, too long, I have been poring over these books containing notes on my many lives on Earth, and sucked out of them the experience they have been able to give me. Could perhaps a brief summary of what moved my past lives even be beneficial to others? That thought has occurred to me, and I will try, with the help of a mortal writer / pen, put it down in words. Centuries have rolled past my mind's eye as I sat here and browsed and read. The oldest records date back to a hoary antiquity, before even a world history was written. The youngest concerns a time that is our own very close. All this I have written myself, after the completion of my mortal lives. I have recorded the most important of the events that occurred, the joys and sufferings it caused, the wrongs I've done and the experience I have gained. And the next time I went down again into the heavy matter, I have brought with me this experience as a latent capital, as it came to managing and multiply. Not always, I have had the opportunity to look back at earlier stages of development and never before have I been able to see so far into the past as now. Therefore I have been sitting here so long, in the large library, wrapped in the sometimes embarrassing but always instructive study of my own history. There is something indescribably magnificent in the spiritual evolution we are all subject. During times of immense extent, we eventually worked our way up, at the beginning creeping, then with faltering steps, sometimes with purposeful leap, until we reached up to the platform on which the Earth's humanity are broadly at present. But what is the road we had travelled, compared to what still lies ahead? Infinite expanses lit by a brilliant light, opens itself to our eyes, or rather our idea, when we try to see into the future, a perspective so attractive that it should urge us not to spare no effort, not to shrink from any sacrifice, not to tremble for something suffering, when it comes to progress on the path that is us mapped out. And throughout this eternity are all of us hiking, not just in the lump, but each one individually, so that it possible, in the most loving way, cared for and led by those who are already further than we are. For all, yes, all life and spirit, are linked in an endless creation chain, widespread throughout the universe, about which the brilliant starry sky gives us a weak idea. A chain, where each link connected to the adjacent with the power of love, emanating from him. The big being that rooms all that is, who with his power of love, has generated everything. To him be must our gratitude rise in silent sighs, in jubilant hymns now and eternal times. I want to start at the end. My last earthly life was one of suffering cloister. I had a lot to atone for, and had taken on me a difficult task, but I went fairly well ashore and hence may I now reap the fruits of my efforts. I was an officer in the German army service and named Fritz von H., was pulled into the 1870-71 years of bloody war and then lived in a secluded corner of a small town in southern Germany. So was the outer of my life, too insignificant that in itself to imply anything of interest, but my inner life was so much richer in impressions and experiences of various kinds. I had a sensitive mind, my spiritual nerves were embarrassingly exposed, and I could therefore suffer of small, little things, more than other people of great sorrows. When I look back on my life, I can hardly see and believe how I could bear everything, so skinless I was. It is now not my intention to come up with a long and detailed biography, I shall confine myself to outlining some pictures from my recent hike on earth. It is night. Lamp burns even on my desk, and I sit deep in reading a popular philosophical work on happiness, which I had borrowed from an older fellow in school. I myself am only 17 years old. The door opened slowly and my mother, wearing a white night robe, comes in and puts her hand on my shoulder. I looked through the keyhole that light shone inside, the clock struck 12. What is the kind of lesson my boy has such a hurry? There's no homework, mother. I read about your luck. Apostrophe do you not think it would be more useful to sleep? Luck comes at times when sleeping, said. Apostrophe not yet, I must first conclude this chapter. Then I will not bother you. But not too long, you need to sleep. Good night my Fritz. No, do not go, mother. See here, take my blanket around you and be a moment with me. It is so good to talk when it's quiet in the house. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about? Yeah, I wanted to ask you, mother, you who are always so calm and peaceful, you know what happiness is? It is probably, generally, in a happy sense of duty, but for me it lies in the joy of you, my only child, my only support in life. You are so sweet, mother, but you know, I think your luck is well tame. Do you know any better? I do not know if it is better, but probably it would sometimes feel like a relief to get into the fight or bite. That was terrible, those concepts you have about happiness. Do not worry, mother, I do not think, but sometimes it can simmer in my mind of resentment, that I do not get to hit. Today, for example, I received a totally unwarranted reprimand the school of that idiot Nackenberg. Do not you think I flew up to his shoulders and grabbed him by the hair? Well, well, only in the thoughts of course. But though it felt good, what it had not then been able to do it in reality. Apostrophe it's a happiness that I will pray God preserve you from. I think he does too. You need not to be afraid. Is it only when you feel offended that you become so hot? Certainly not. The worst thing I know, is to see when they hit a horse. Then I'd like to flog the man, and the horse I wanted to be free in a painless way, so that it does not have to be subjected to ill treatment of raw people. There are many things you have to endure to see and experience the sufferings in this world. Yes, that is precisely the question if we have to sow. Do you not, mother, think it would be a greater happiness to go away from life, than to live in the midst of all this injustice and brutality? What do you mean? I think it might be happier to take own life than be living in the midst of others and oneself's abasement. Preserve me well, such. Well, you sweet mother, take not you such a miserable countenance. It is no danger at all. Do you think I could walk away from you? I just brooding over where happiness lies. You know what I think? Happiness is in our own essence inside, and so waiting to be discovered, and the calmer we are, the sooner we find it. Maybe you're right, mother. But how do you want me to be still, with so much fire in my veins? Suppress the fire, so it does not consume you, and be my own stationary boy. Good night. She took both her hands on my head, looked me in my eyes, kissed me on the forehead and left. 2. There is a big bale at the house of the commanding general. Gaudy uniforms and bright dresses moves gracefully around each other in an atmosphere of complacency, gossip and flirt. Sound of clinks of spurs, it rustles in silks. The band, which is much too large for the room, hurt my ears. I am now an officer carrying the regiment's pretty uniform. I have danced and joked throughout the evening and seen the young ladies deeply into their eyes. They have given me sweet slight smiles and mischievous eyes, and they have let me know that I am a good dancer, that I am entertaining and enjoyable, and even the uniform dresses me. What do they carry below the youthful fair surface? I try to form an idea of the character of the women I dance with, but may not hold on to something to hold it in. Is she as good as her eyes are warm? How do alter these traits if she would be angry? Are there any strength in this? Well, good, let's dance while we're young. It is one of the young ladies who have something magical in her eyes, she sucks me up to her, like the beach sucks in a sea wave, for the next moment bumping it back. W, here she comes right to me. You are so lonely, Baron, she says with a delicious smile. Will you not give me a turn in this dance, Raoul? I thank you, nothing can be dearer to me. The music stops. Arm in arm clamps on our way to the buffet. Apostrophe, it's wonderful to slide back into the dance, when you have a secure arm to lean on. Are you fond of dancing? Much, but it's something I hold even more of. And that is? Riding. Do you know, Baron, that you should come up with us in our riding club? Yes, I can happily say my riding club, for it is I who formed it and where I rule supreme. Yes, it is the best form of government, only one has the good fortune to have a. Speak up, I promise not to feel offended. So adorable rulers. Yes, my scepter is not heavy. Well, have you desires? It's just an open place in our quadrille after Captain Lo Yuan, who has been moved to another garrison. I am your infinitely connected, and it will be my great pleasure. So? So are you going Friday evening 8 o'clock at the arena on their horse and? Preferably in uniform, she added with a suggestive smile. Once I'm sitting in my little chamber, the same that I had during my school days, for I still live with my mother, my precious beloved mother, who I look up to as my good guardian spirit, but also on the most intimate terms with. For her, I have no secrets, she is accustomed to listen to all my inventions and take note of all my dreams. But now it's something I sit and hide. There is something so new, so surreal, I cannot myself get a good grip on what moves within me. Our ride this morning in God's nature, on the narrow forest road, where the horses have to press one to another for not going in the ditch. What she was fine in her grey riding habit with a white veil fluttering in the wind. And how beautiful she sat on horseback. And I had to lift her down from the saddle. Cecilia. Cecilia. Rejoice and sing in me. Cecilia, I'm yours, do with me what you will. But let me stay by your side until the end of life. Mother arrives. Are you sitting with head in hands, leaning over a law book again? What is it, my kid knight, you sits and broods over? Over happiness. Have you found it now? I think so. And it has met you. Under what name? Cecilia. I see the mother jerks as in a feeling of pain, but I take her in my arms and covering her face with kisses. Mother, you believe in me. Have always done. Have faith then when I tell you that no one except Cecilia can make me happy. Mother takes a while, then it comes as a whisper. Must she? We are at the garden, she with a crown in her hair and a white veil that completely encircles the lovely figure. She is pale, this hour may have grabbed her, the hand I hold in mine is trembling slightly. She gives me a look that I do not quite understand. Is it melancholy or happiness, cheers or pain, or is that all these feelings that storms on each of her breasts? Then, she puts down her eyes. I stand on the threshold of the temple of happiness that my wildest dreams have built me, and though I now feel a trepidation that I never before perceived. The church is festively decorated and full of people in shiny parade uniforms and shining dresses, a flock of bridesmaids and groomsmen standing in pairs in a semicircle behind us. The organ's festive march has died away and the priest reads wedding form. He asks, "Do you take him, Fritz von H., to your spouse and to love him in sickness and in health?" Cecilia trembling and could not utter a word, but the ceremony continues. The blessing is read and we rising from the altar as husband and wife. My mother takes us in her arms, her eyes are red with tears. When I am alone with Cecilia in the cart, she throws herself around my neck and crying, but says not a word. I felt anxiety, as if someone hugged my heart. It's a few months later, on a cold winter day. I come from the barracks, hanging my cape and sword in the hall and hurries into our little home. Cecilia is sitting alone in lounge and read in a magazine. Good afternoon, love. It was nice to come home to you in the warmth again, I have been so cold today. Good day. She answered without lifting her eyes from the blade. It struck me a chill far sharper than the one I had just been shaken off. Cecilia. Have you not a kind word to warm me up with? I take her hand and bring it to my lips. She releases it slowly and look at me with a look so cold, so repulsive, that I necessarily take a step back. First she says finally, answer me honestly, do you really love me? How can you ask that? Do you not feel what goes on in my mind? Does not my attitude, better than words, show how I love? Rather, I could be tempted to give you that question. She was silent for a moment, then came it slow and as tortured. Who was the lady who greeted you yesterday evening at the theater? What do you mean? I seem to remember there were several of our friends there yesterday. She was not of our acquaintances. Who do you mean? It would have been better if you asked me then at once, and not so far behind. Now I remember no specific person. We met her at the door to the foyer after the second act. She looked good, and there shot a very warm look from her eyes when she answered your greeting. The eyes have haunted me all day. Now I want to know who she was. Ah, it was Miss von Plotz, actually a friend of my mother. To your mother? She was younger than you. No, Fritz. Do not try to fool me. We women have a much awake instinct when it comes to tracking a rival. I assure you. Ensure nothing, it would be best. Cecilia. What do you mean? Will you ask me to inform you that I say hello to an old familiar? However, it is almost too much. Old familiar. The look said, however, something more. Her mother was a childhood friend of my mother, therefore she sometimes comes up to us, that's everything. That's not all. My idea, feelings tells me that. You have been in a more intimate relationship with each other, and I saw that she still hangs out at you with all her soul, is it not so? You know, Cecilia, I feel it is almost beneath my dignity to defend myself against an accusation which, even if it were true, is of such innocent nature. Thus it is true, you have not been able to deny thereto. She gets up and goes with hasty steps a few times back and forth across the floor, then she throws herself into a corner of the sofa and drills her head down into the pillow. Cecilia. How do you want to interfere with our happiness in this way? Am I not more to you than that? Then we are wretchedly poor. Do you not understand, she sobbed, that it is precisely because I love you so much, that I cannot bear to share you with anyone else? Cecilia. She answered not a word, but went with rapid steps and with nose pressed against the handkerchief, out of the room. I stood still and looked after her. Was this the happiness I had dreamed about? Another 2 years had elapsed during alternating sunshine and shade. She could be so devoted and tender, and then fortune smiled at me. But when jealousy demon seized her, she was awful.